64 challenges are ready. Is there a Cinderella story waiting for us? The best are set to battle it out, but there can only be one victor. Who has what it takes to win the Golden E-Ticket, the most prestigious award in all of Walt Disney World podcasting? It's Mouse Madness, baby!
Hello, you're listening to Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined today by our resident volcanologist with a Dole Whip problem, JJ.
Look, it's not a problem if you can stop whenever you want.
But can you?
I probably can. Also, I've never heard the word volcanologist before.
I was thinking volcanologist, but I think that's a Star Trek thing.
I think that's
That definitely sounds like a Star Trek thing.
I'm thinking it's a geologist that specializes in volcanoes.
I want to watch what's the movie with Pierce Brosnan and the volcano? I feel like they talk about it in that Dante's Peak.
Oh, that was so good. Was that made for a movie or made for TV?
I definitely
it just translated really well.
Well, and we're joined here today by our steakhouse spelunker, Sean.
That's fine. I like that nickname.
Cave diving into Steakhouse 71.
I'd rather just explore steakhouses for a living.
If you have a good title for my co-hosts here after listening to this episode, please send in your ideas to readygeeks@gmail.com. In today's episode, the geeks continue our Mouse Madness Bracket, Bar Edition. Sweet 16 and Elite 8 coming at you right now. This March, we've been putting 64 Walt Disney World bars head-to-head in an epic bracket showdown called Mouse Madness Bar Edition. We have gone down now to our Sweet 16, so we had our round of 64 and our round of 32. It started out with a little bit of chaos, right?
A lot of chaos.
Madness, you might say.
Madness, yes. Madness from a couple different reasons. Our seeding was a little crazy there. It put some big popular bars up against each other pretty early.
Yes. Yeah, some bars made it through that I don't think would have in other circumstances. But hey, there's always a 15 or a 14 seed that makes it through and gives it a little bit of fun. So
yeah, I mean, we had a couple Cinderella stories, and I would highly recommend, if you did not listen to the first two episodes, to stop this podcast and go back and listen to the other two so you can be fully caught up and know what bars didn't make the cut and what bars sadly met their demise to leave us with our 16.
Yeah, yeah. And this episode for our Sweet 16, we're going to have a couple different rules and a couple changes here. Number one is that there's no more random events.
Oh, okay.
Correct?
Yeah.
So yeah, that we had random events in our round of 64 and round of 32 that would give us something different to consider, something different to think about, a different scenario. But we won't be doing that anymore for a round of 16. I think these matchups can hold out on their own, so that we don't really need those.
It's too serious now.
Yeah, we're getting into the weeds here. We also have a change with our tie breaking. So if there was a tie, because each one of us gets one vote and then the listeners get one vote, that makes four votes. That we can easily have a tie with four votes, right? So our tiebreaker was to call up one of our honorary geeks, a listener that's ready at the phone for us to call them, and then they would just pick one, right?
Right, and most of our honorary geeks do just sit around waiting for us to call them.
Yeah. Actually, I told several of them to wait around this evening, even though there's no chance in us calling them.
What a letdown.
We have a bracket from Teslin from Geyser Point. She's a bartender at Geyser Point that my wife and I met on Saturday night, our most recent trip to Walt Disney World. Now, this isn't a trip report episode, but we had her fill out a bracket, and we're going to use her bracket from the Sweet 16
as the tiebreaker. So tie goes to the tender.
Test the tender.
Hopefully she's okay with that nickname.
Yeah. When our hordes of fans swarm Geyser Point.
And we also did a change with how we, as the hosts, are going to be thinking about each of our each of these matchups. In the round of 64 and the round of 32, we were basically going freeform however we wanted to vote.
Just based off of our general opinion. But now we actually made five different categories and assigned an overall score to each of the 16 remaining bars. So we may, as we're discussing these bars, touch on scores that we gave out. Essentially, we each rated everything between 1 and 5 with ambiance, theme, drink selection, food, and accessibility. And as we go through the tournament, we'll talk a little bit more about the categories and how something could score a 1 or a 0 or a 5 in a certain category, in our opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to necessarily bore you by running down a list of each number in each category at each bar. But I think if one of us feels a little more compelled to say why we might have given something a 1 or a 5 in a different category, we'll go into that.
That level of boredom deserves a Patreon. You have to pay for
it. If you're that much of a sicko, you're going to pay for it.
Calm down, Rover. I was only kidding.
All right, so let's get into our round 16, our sweet 16. JJ, take it away.
Okay, we're at Disney Springs, and we're starting with the one seed, Dockside Margaritas. This is the Battle of the Docks against the four seed, Dockside Bar at the Boathouse.
I think we should make a point to no longer comment on the zaniness of the seating, but it's just still so insane to me.
Yeah, we don't have to comment, but it's
when
good
you say
to know
the one seed Dockside Margaritas, I can't not like what?
Yeah,
I think because we're doing two rounds today, I may not reveal my score for one, but this is the widest margin of any matchup that I have in my ranking. So to me, it is so obviously Boathouse.
Yes.
Yeah. We talked in our texts about some of our little previews here. This was by far the lowest ranking I gave a bar.
Same.
To Dockside. But here's what I will say. I did say that my lowest ranked category still did actually get a 5 in one of the criteria. And I gave Dockside Margaritas a 5 in accessibility. It's right there. Out in the open, it's never crowded. You can walk up, get a drink, and walk right on by.
And grab a seat, yes.
It's a 5 for accessibility, but it ranks pretty low.
I was also surprised to see that there's seating, that there's seats along the water. So yes. You can sit at the bar looking at the water.
Absolutely, that's right. Yes, and
it's not a bad view.
It scored really well for me in the things that you guys just mentioned. Ambiance. And accessibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it did poorly in everything else.
It's hard to come back from a 0 in food.
Yes, right.
I guess. I mean, I'm when you're ranking bars, I think you have to think about food sometimes, but food is something I'm thinking about a little less with a lot of these bars, because a lot of times when we're going to the bars, it's mostly for drinks. If there's food, we'll get food, but food is not weighing so heavily on my decision on a lot of these bars. But this place has no food.
I think it depends on a place. I think Springs, I would take food into consideration. But maybe in another place, I may not take food as seriously. But Springs, I mean, really is a place to like shop and eat and have a couple drinks.
That's fair.
And if the bar has no food, you're going to have a drink, and then you're going to have to still go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, your time at that bar is probably 1 to 2 drinks maximum.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of competition in Springs, too.
Yeah.
So if you're not pulling your weight with some food, then, you know, even, like, bar nuts. Come on, something.
Right. Even if it was just, like, chips and salsa or something, maybe you could at least get a 1 or a 2 out of the food, but...
But Dockside
had a Dockside Margaritas had a really great run though.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It was a Cinderella story.
It was a good, it had an unexpected run.
Yeah.
The one seed Cinderella story.
Yeah.
Dockside Bar though from Boathouse.
Yeah, even though we know it's the clear winner, we don't need to discount it by not talking about it.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's going on to the next round. We're going to talk about it again in the in the Elite Eight. So
yeah, let's do that.
Maybe we save all our comments about Boathouse for later, except fair. That we all really like it.
We all really like it.
Great bar.
Yeah.
A winner by its own right.
Okay, so the next matchup, we've got two Titans. Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar against Wine Bar George.
I'm actually not sure how much of a Titan Wine Bar George is. It didn't do too well in my review and rankings of it. But Jock Lindsay's excelled in nearly every category.
So I think this may be somewhere the food is good at Wine Bar George. Mm-hmm. It's part of the whole experience. There's an ample wine list, an ample cocktail list, interesting specialty cocktails. They've got a frozen old fashioned, a frozen something. They're using Dole Whip and all sorts of stuff to make crazy concoctions on top of it being a really great wine bar with good food.
Yeah.
So I think this is somewhere where the food elevates it, Wine Bar George, to where it is actually kind of is in this conversation. At least in my opinion, it's in the ballpark.
Yeah. I tried to focus a little bit more on the basket at Wine Bar George, the outside area. I know we talked about that in the last episode, but either way, I think for me, Jock Lindsay's was going to win. The only thing I want to say about Jock Lindsay's, though, is I was looking at the menu because they don't have too much food. They have like a little small bites.
Yeah, but they're all good.
They're all good. So I haven't eaten there. So like I'm not too sure, right? But there's one called Obi-Wan Wings. What's with that? How it's Star Wars reference.
Yeah, okay. I didn't catch it. I didn't really look up the menu too much of this. But yeah, I mean for a bar that's pretty clearly, and that's I gave Jock Lindsay's a 5 for theme because I think it's like if you know, you know. It's a great nod for fans of Indiana Jones. But yeah, to have a Star Wars theme.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe is that a nod to like
Han Solo,
Harrison Ford playing Han Solo, you know, maybe George Lucas a little bit. I don't know, but
right. It's in the, they're both living in the same, you know,
universe
mind.
Yeah.
Parent company with Lucasfilm. They're both Lucasfilms, right?
I gave this a 5 as well for theme. It's one of the only, there's only two bars I gave a 5 for theming. And yeah, this was one of them.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a deserving 5. Jock Lindsay's makes a really strong case to be the best bar in the Springs bracket to me. Mm-hmm. It's my winner. I just wanted to say some nice things about Wine Bar George first.
Yeah. I will say, though, that the listeners disagree with the way we're going right now. They voted for Wine Bar George.
And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Because if you wanted to have a meal with some drinks, Wine Bar George may be a better option. But Jock Lindsay's is cooler. It's very accessible. Food is good enough. If you're, you know, it's not a big menu.
It's not very crowded, too.
And it's never crowded there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of alcohol you like, there is something there for you, which I really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Really diverse menu. Interesting drinks. I had the Scottish professor there one time, and I did not know if I would like it or not, and it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really great drink. And, you know, we'll talk about this, and we'll talk about it in the Elite Eight, but I have some opinions that I'll save for later, but I really like Jock Lindsay's.
Yeah.
And I think Wine Bar George is just, that's a place you're going because you want a certain thing.
Right. It serves a purpose really well, but it's lacking in theme. It's lacking in ambiance, but it is a good place to have a drink and have a meal.
Yeah. It's checking all the boxes if you want a more upscale experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, for me personally, I would always want to go to the place that is a little more casual and has a little more to offer me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I you know, I'm going to prioritize the theme more than anything else.
Yeah. Because I mean, where are we?
Right. We're in Walt Disney World. We're in a theme park. Even though we're in Springs, we're still in a theme park. I kind of want that wherever I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why I'm writing in T-Rex bar as the winner.
A write-in campaign.
Write-in campaign. I'm launching an official write-in campaign to make T-Rex.
This bracket bar is officially in protest for not including T-Rex bar.
I'm kidding. Jock Lindsey's winning this round.
Only a little.
Definitely not our dino. Go, go, go!
Okay. I know I already stated that I was voting for Jock Lindsey. What about you guys?
You made a pretty clear argument.
Yeah.
I'll be voting Jock Lindsey's for sure.
I'm voting Jock Lindsey's too. The listeners, as I said before, disagreed with us. They went Wine More George, but 3-1, Jock Lindsey's is going to move on to the Elite Eight.
And congratulations, Wine Bar George. You did great.
Yeah.
So now we're actually going to move over into the restaurant bracket.
Yes. So our next matchup is going to be the 9-seed Steakhouse 71, aka Disney's Cave, and seed 13, Waialulu Bar and Grill.
I think we have a Cinderella story here brewing.
Yeah. I'm going to start us off with talking about Waialulu, because I just happened to go there this past weekend. It's a brand new bar, just opened up in December, and originally they had some kinks to work out, but I rated this one pretty high. This was tied for third place for me in terms of all of these.
Overall score.
After a first visit.
Yeah, after one visit. And I'll tell you, like, we got some really good food there.
What'd you get?
So we just
turned this into a whole review of this one place, because I'm thinking about going there next time I'm in the parks.
Well, so Emily and I,
specifically for a meal, like
for a meal. Yeah. Yeah. And you can get the whole meal from the whole grill there. The restaurant you can get at the bar. And I got the tuna nachos. They were really good.
Those looked amazing.
Yes. Yeah,
I've seen videos.
and we got the burger, which is not something...
supposed to be really good.
Yes, it was very good. It's not something I typically get, and especially Emily. We were splitting our meal so we could try more things later on.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they do their burger is their two smash burger patties.
Nice.
So, and then, you know, it has all the fixings on it. And it was very good, very flavorful.
Yeah, it's got some Hawaiian influences there, right? It was,
yes.
The sauce is a little different than like a standard burger sauce. Is there pineapple on it?
No.
No, no pineapple. I don't think they didn't go that far.
No,
Just a different kind of sauce on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we established in the last episode that I am someone who loves a view, a really good view.
Right? Yes. That's an elite view.
That is an elite view. You have a great view of the fireworks at Magic Kingdom, and they do pump in the music too.
Yeah. So I rated the ambiance very high there, but it wasn't my highest score.
Mm-hmm.
But I rated it really high. Steakhouse 71, really great. But in the end, I think it just comes up. I mean, really great. The burger there is actually really good. I don't know if you've had that burger.
No, but I've heard that too.
That was a really good burger.
Yeah.
Great drink menu there. Really good food. Really, of the hotel bars, I think Steakhouse 71 might be the easiest one to physically get to.
Yep.
Because, you know, if you're in the front of Magic Kingdom, you're basically at Steakhouse 71.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so close.
Yeah.
It's probably the easiest of these hotel bars, or bars that are in hotels, or restaurants that are in hotels that are left. It might be the most accessible out of all of those.
And it's funny, because Waialulu, that's very accessible too. Polynesian is just a very accessible resort in general.
Well, because it's right on the monorail, so it's easier to get to than some other places that we'll talk about later.
Right. Where Steakhouse 71 though was lacking for me is the ambiance, right? I joked about it, the cave, right?
Yeah.
I do feel like it is, if it's crowded, if you're going during a busy time, it is loud. It's, I don't know, it just seems so dark in there. Just
it's
not
definitely
a big,
not dark.
I was
in
gonna
there.
Say I felt like I was in like an operating room. Everything
yes,
was bright
so
and white.
White.
I don't know if you're like thinking about it when it was the wave.
The darkness probably, but the loudness. We've gotten dinner there too. We've gotten dinner there, and I've gotten there at least 3 to 4 times, like just to the bar to get a drink. And usually I'm just like, get me out of here.
Yeah, I mean everyone obviously. You know, everyone has their own preferences, but I'm not in Walt Disney World. I don't know if I'm knocking anywhere for being overly loud.
Yeah. What I will say about Steakhouse 71 is that the ambiance, you're not right, but I wouldn't use cave as the reference.
You're not right.
You're not. It's not that you're not right. Sorry. Hold on.
No, I like that. You're not right. You're wrong. You're not entirely wrong.
You're not entirely wrong about that. There's something lacking about that, about the ambiance there. It gives a little bit of like airport bar vibe.
Mm, yeah.
Which again, we're at a theme park. I want a little more than that.
Well, theming is also an issue too, right?
Right.
I think the theming is a steakhouse that Walt would like. Like, you know, that's like, you know, there's like, all
I mean, I think
everywhere.
I think the theming of Steakhouse 71 is sort of in line with the theming of the contemporary. Like it fits in with that kind of old, and that we can talk for hours about how we think the contemporary is dated and kind of weird looking now as compared to what's popping up across the lagoon at the Grand Floridian and the Polynesian. But I think Steakhouse 71 fits in perfectly with the resort it's in. We were only there for about an hour, but I would go back to that place in a heartbeat. I've never been to Wailulu. I'm sure I would love it there. But yeah, I really liked Steakhouse 71 for what I thought it could offer me.
Yeah. I mean, I have this as a tight matchup. But I do have Wailulu as the winner.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was a tight matchup for me. One of the tighter matchups, but they both have really solid scores, but Wailulu takes it for me.
Sean?
My vote will be Steakhouse 71.
Okay. My vote is Wailulu.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
The listeners voted Steakhouse 71.
Oh, so test to tender.
Yes.
Tie
goes to the tender. And Tess from Geyser Point.
Just says it's Geyser Point, even though it's not this matchup.
So, Tess from Geyser Point said Wailulu.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there it is.
There it is.
Steakhouse 71 has had a really great run, and the Cinderella story for Wailulu Bar and Grill continues.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised about our listeners choosing Steakhouse 71, especially...
Well, I don't think they've been.
Yeah, well...
It's only been open for... 5 months?
Oh, Wailulu, yes.
Wailulu's only been open for 5 months.
Yeah. I'd like to see... I wonder what Honorary Geek Michael and Honorary Geek Emily with two E's chose. If it's... you know, because they've now been to both.
They don't like a cave.
Yeah. They don't like a cave. Okay. So our next matchup is going to be our third seed, Topolino's Terrace, versus our second seed, Geyser Point Bar and Grill. And spoiler, Tess from Geyser Point did choose Geyser Point.
this feels like
this is the hardest one.
This feels like a heavyweight match for the Shopee Ferrara family here.
Yeah, we do really like
the Riviera.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, I'm on record as, you know, loving all over Geyser Point.
Yeah. All over, huh?
Maybe
phrase that differently.
Yeah,
that's gross. This is a family podcast.
Well, for me, this was probably my closest matchup of 19 points to 18 points. But Geyser Point, the one thing I want to emphasize here is the ambiance. It is just, I feel like it's amazing. So there's so many different levels to the seating. Right, you have the bar seating, you have regular four top seatings, right? And then you have, if you go a little further down, couch seating, which you can get a drink and go out to, right? And that's couch seating that's along the water. And I think that progression from like higher to lower just kind of gives it like a nice you know, a nice feel.
Stadium view.
Yes. Yeah. You kind of have a stadium view of what's going on.
Stadium seating for each level of the place.
Right. Right.
Interesting that you highlighted the ambiance of Geyser Point, where Topolino's Terrace is a high up view with an incredible rooftop area that has couches.
Yes. Yes. I know. This is why I was torn. I was so torn here.
So are these 2 fives in ambiance for you?
No, I gave Geyser Point a 5 and Topolino's just a 4.
Interesting, because I did the opposite.
You really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and you know what it is? The water. The view of the water, listening to the boat come in.
But you can see the whole, everything from that roof. You get to watch the Epcot fireworks, which is now actually a fireworks show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but here, I think a good view is a good view, but I think being at Topolino's Lounge, Terrace Lounge, is only like the view is only the view is only the best when the fireworks are going on.
Yeah,
you know, like if I'm up there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon having a drink on a regular day, sure, it's a great view, it's nice, but like I would prefer the view of the water at Geyser Point rather than just being up high. Mm-hmm. In Topolino's,
looking out over the whole Caribbean beach resort in front of you.
Yeah, I don't know that interests me super high.
You also might fry up there on Topolino's Terrace. Right?
Yeah, that's true. The shade is maybe an issue.
Yeah, and the bar area for Topolino's is inside, facing away from all of that. So you have to get your drink and then go outside. Or I don't know if there's wait service out there.
My question was: are you able to go to the Topolino's bar, the lounge, whatever this is, the Terrace Lounge, without reservation?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you could, but you have to go up there and you have to go through the restaurant.
Yes.
Okay. So for me, that was a weird accessibility thing, because I think that, you know, it might deter people to have to be up in the restaurant, go through the restaurant. People might think they have to have a reservation. Plus, it's also, people aren't going to the Riviera unless they're staying there, for the most part.
Right.
I think it's kind of off the path for people.
It did score poorly for me in accessibility, because really, you're not going to the Riviera unless you're choosing to go to the Riviera or you're staying there or at Caribbean Beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just not going to end up there. It's not that easy to get to. But I will say this place had 2 fives for me. Ambiance, because of the height and the view and the fireworks ability. And the food, because Topolino's Terrace, the restaurant, has some of the best food in all of Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
And you have access to the full menu when you're at the bar.
That's true. That's true.
That's something that not every bar has. Usually it's a modified menu, yeah, a curated menu specifically of select things from the restaurant.
Yeah.
To be able to get, I don't want to call it a hack, but to be able to get the full menu at the bar without having to maybe make the reservation 60 days out or worry about getting, if it's just you and your partner, you and your wife, you and a date, whatever, you could just sit at the bar and get the meal you would have gotten inside. Yeah. Yeah.
You by know? Yourself.
That's yeah. true. Yeah, you by yourself.
Solo trip. I'm looking at your numbers here, JJ, and I do like that you gave accessibility for Geyser Point a 3 rather than a 2 like at Topolino's, because I do think that while Wilderness Lodge is off the beaten path and it's not very easy to get to, it is a destination because of the lobby. I think people choose to go there.
I also think it's easier to get there because of that direct boat from the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
It's really easy to get to Wilderness Lodge as part of your Magic Kingdom day. So I gave that a bump up.
Yeah.
There is a Skyliner though.
And Topolino's, but yeah, that's why Topolino's wasn't a 1.
Right, right. Okay.
The Skyliner gave it a 2 because it is a good option, maybe even a great option, if you are leaving Hollywood Studios and you want to have dinner or a drink somewhere nice. The Riviera is really one of those places.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave Geyser Point a 3 in accessibility as well, because even though we talk about how that, you know, at hotels that are that nice, like the DVC hotels, the deluxe hotels, a lot of people aren't going there unless they're staying there. But Wilderness Lodge specifically is a place that if you're resort hopping, you want to go there.
Yeah.
You want to see it. And there's a chance, I feel like there's a better chance that you're going to be resort hopping to Wilderness Lodge than you are to the Riviera.
Yes. I agree.
So
that's a good way of putting it too.
But the Riviera is the highlight of the Skyliner crawl.
Yes. Yeah. That's so, the best one.
Right.
You, have more options there. And yeah.
Yeah. Are we ready to vote?
I'm ready to vote.
I'm ready to vote. So I am going to go with Geyser Point.
I'm going to vote Geyser Point.
And I'm going to vote for Topolino's Terrace.
Okay. So the listeners voted Geyser Point.
Okay.
So Geyser Point won. But actually, Geyser Point would have won anyway.
Because Ty goes to the tender.
Spoiler alert.
Tess definitely went Geyser Point. So that does it for our restaurant region. And now we're going to enter into the park region.
Back in the parks with, I think, two of our best matchups yet. Two matchups containing four bars that we will speak about in length that we've already covered pretty significantly in past episodes. But our first round here takes place in the Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios with Nomad Lounge, a one seed, as well as the Tune In Lounge.
Okay, well, Tune In Lounge gets points for having Linus as part of the theme.
Are you starting with Tune In Lounge because it's clearly the weaker?
I'm not going to reveal that just yet. So it gets good points in theming because it definitely lands mid-century modern vibes. It does what it's trying to do really well.
Yeah.
Really great drink selection for that place. Really good bartenders.
Yep.
It's maybe the most accessible bar in the entire bracket because if you're going on a trip to Walt Disney World, you will be in Hollywood Studios, and that means you have easy access to the Tune In Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my fives, like the easiest, maybe the easiest place out of everything on this list to get into.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, there is no food, so scores a zero in food.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm surprised you can't get any food from the restaurant. I mean, it's attached to...
It used to be a thing,
yeah.
But I think since COVID, they kind of nixed the food option. You know, it would have been unfortunately this wasn't that close of a matchup. Linus can only take this so far.
Yeah.
And
the bartenders are amazing, but yes. There's amazing bartenders at all these bars.
I was going to say, I don't think I've had a bad bartender experience at a bar. I've had regular bartender experiences, but I mean, I have never had an experience where I've been like, oh, they sucked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
For me personally, I mean, this is... I don't want to say it's a no-brainer, but the Nomad Lounge was, I voted two of them, the 16. This was the highest score I gave anything, and only one other bar got the same score. I gave a 5 to the Nomad Lounge for theme. I think it does it amazingly. I think that it's the perfect kind of setting for that part of Animal Kingdom. The ambiance is a 4. The only thing that maybe kept it from being a 5 is that it can probably get really crowded. And it's not a place you might want to sit for too long if it's really crowded. I just think Nomad Lounge is one of the best bars, for sure, one of the best bars in Disney World.
So that's funny. I flipped that.
So did I.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I did ambiance was 5 because I love the sitting outside on the patio.
When you're on the patio, on those on the little couch things,
yes.
And you're right on the water.
Yep.
In the middle of a world-class theme park, it doesn't
get better. And when that cavalcade comes floating by,
yeah, you get to see a character, you get to wave hi to Miko and Pocahontas. Yeah. It's a special place.
Yes.
The Nomad Lounge is extremely special. And the food's really great there. It's a small menu, but it's incredible.
It's a killing. It's something for everybody.
It's Tiffin's, too.
Right, it's Tiffin's, which is one of the best restaurants in a theme park, period.
Yeah. And I like that if you sit on one side of the patio, you get the sounds of Pandora. And on the other side, you get more of like your theme park, sounds.
The hustle and bustle of a theme park. Yeah.
But it does get crowded. And so I took a point off for inaccessibility for that because sometimes you do have to wait online.
Sure. I did as well. The thing that kept this is one of my highest scorers.
Yeah, it was mine too. I think for all three of us, this is it.
And apologies to the Tune In Lounge. It's definitely Nomad Lounge, and we're gonna have to talk about this place again. So I'm gonna be a little more brief and I'll save some other stuff.
Yeah.
But TuneIn Lounge had a good run and I'm proud of it and I'm proud of Linus.
Yeah. Yeah. TuneIn Lounge, actually, I gave it better in accessibility because, you know, it's in the theme park. It's just never crowded.
Right. That's what I mean.
It's nice.
Is that a good thing? Because yes. I was like, Dockside Margaritas is a 5 for accessibility, but like, is it a good thing that no one's ever there? Like, is it that good of a place?
Not necessarily, but sometimes it is.
I think it is, you know, because.
But it moves people. People are coming in and out of TuneIn Lounge.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't want to be overcrowded and I don't have to wait online for a bar, you know. You have to wait online for everything else in Disney World.
Right. Who wants to wait online for 20 minutes for a drink while they're virtually waiting in line to go on their next ride?
Right. Yeah. The perfect bar would be 5s all the way down, right? And then that 5 in accessibility of being able to go there problem free is, you know, that's to me, that's huge. This Nomad Lounge is the only bar I gave 2 5s to. I gave it to Ambiance and I gave it to Drink Selection. The Drink Selection, really, I think, probably the most unique drinks that's left in the bracket.
That Tempting Tigress is one of the best drinks in Walt Disney World. If we were to have made a what's the best drink in Walt Disney World, that would be a really top contender for me.
Yeah.
And maybe this is where I was thinking about possibly being too critical. And because it caused me to, for a couple places I hadn't been to in a while, it caused me to look at the menus. The drinks here are pretty expensive.
Oh, well, yeah. I didn't look at prices.
That took a point off for me because I think I've said in one of the last episodes, drinking at Disney World is not a very expensive ordeal. There's a lot of places you can get cheap drinks. And when I'm seeing $18.50 and $19.50 for a cocktail, even if it's not batched, It's not going to jump off the page to me. It's a place I might just decide to grab a beer and be on my way. Even if the cocktail is really good, I just don't know that I'm spending that kind of money.
You know what's funny?
I think you're paying for the ambiance.
Yeah.
You're paying because it's such prime real estate there. You're paying, I would say, this is not the place. Nomad Lounge is not the place to just grab a drink and leave. It's a place to take a break in the middle of your day at Animal Kingdom and sit and relax and have a nice special moment. Maybe have an appetizer with your group and everybody has a really nice drink and they sit for like a half hour. Like, it's that kind of place.
Yeah.
It's not a like,
that's fair.
I want a good drink quick. No, and also I think the wait that it commands reflects that. It's a place you stop and spend some time.
Right. All right, so let's vote.
I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
it's a
clean sweep.
We're
right?
Going Nomad Lounge.
Nomad.
Here. Yeah, and the listeners also went Nomad Lounge. So
yeah.
clean sweep of 4. Just out of curiosity, I'm going to check what Tess said. Oh, Nomad, yeah. Okay.
So Ty didn't have to go to the tender, but it would have anyway.
Yeah.
All right. JJ, did you bring gloves with you? Boxing gloves by chance?
No, but maybe we can come up with some.
I think we're going to need to put some gloves on. There may be one less host maybe on the next episode of the podcast.
Friendships might end.
I have something.
We have opinions. We have thoughts.
I have a lot of opinions and thoughts about this, and I feel really bad for my scoring on this.
Well, let's reveal. We have the 11 seed Rose and Crown Pub in the United Kingdom in Epcot, and a 2 seed heavy hitter, the Baseline Tap House in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Both very deserving of the Sweet 16, and we knew that a matchup like this was going to happen.
Absolutely. My original thought was that I thought Baseline Tap House was going to walk pretty easily into this round. I thought perhaps it would be going against La Cava del Tequila, but the seeding didn't work out that way.
I mean, we already had that matchup.
Yeah.
Wait, no, we didn't.
It was Baseline against that.
We had Cava versus Rosencrown.
Yeah. Rosencrown, yeah.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, that was nice that we got to have the Epcot versus Epcot moment.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Well, we are also fortunate enough, I think, to have maybe the Baseline Tap House biggest fan in the room with us.
Yeah.
So
I have, but hold on. Before we reveal anything else, and before I reveal my scoring, do we have to count food in this matchup?
So, okay. Because we kind of had that discussion in the text earlier. I gave Rosencrown a 0 for food.
Okay.
Because it doesn't
the restaurant is a whole different category. You can't get food from the bar. I would be willing to give Rose and Crown a one if they let you bring in food from other places, which I don't know if they do.
So I gave actually Rose and Crown a two for food because I do this every time for lunch. I get fish and chips from outside at the quick service right outside the bar.
Yorkshire County. Yeah.
And then you go inside and you go to the piano guy in the back sit there.
To me, that's not Rose and Crown's food, though. So if we're,
I mean,
so
it
if
is there are fish and chips just from a stand on the other corner,
right? It's like going to the basket at Wine Bar George and getting to go food.
No,
it's,
because that's actually Wine Bar George,
right? Like, and this is actually this
it's
is
the same.
It's the same kitchen.
It's the same fish and chips.
It's just a different window.
Yeah,
I'm not counting that as Rose and Crown.
Yeah,
I'm not giving Rose and Crown credit for that. But I mean, even still, it's not moving the needle on my ultimate ranking here. I'm giving Rose and Crown a zero for food, but if you could get poutine in Canada or get something from somewhere else and they'd let you bring it into the bar and just eat it at one of the tables.
Absolutely.
I would say, okay, cool. They're at least accommodating.
Just during lunch.
So
right.
Not dinner, yeah.
With that being said, I have a real conflict of conscience.
Yeah, I know. So like
should I count the food or just completely discount the food? Like, just call them NA, because you know what? Baseline Tap House has food just by the sheer, like, just the fact that they actually have something that they serve.
Yeah. Right. Baseline Tap House has food.
Yeah. It's a giant
They've got
pretzel.
The giant pretzel and a charcuterie.
And the charcuterie board is pretty good. That's a good charcuterie board.
But it does lack in drink selection, theme.
So for me,
these are both fives. To me, they're both fives in accessibility because there's not a problem getting in there. They're both in the park, in main flow of traffic areas. Yeah. It's really, really easy places to get to.
So I disagree with that. I think that both of them are often a little too crowded and have lines.
But not long. You're not waiting online. I've never waited online longer than like 2 minutes to get into.
Yeah, I'm not always holding a line against the bar. We are where we are. Like, I've never waited more than maybe 5 minutes or so at the bar at Rose and Crown. Baseline, the bar inside feels more like, it's not necessarily a bar inside. It's more of a quick service beer counter.
Yeah. Agreed.
You're not sitting at that bar.
Right.
There's other places inside. They're kind of hoping you get your beer and get outside. There's a couple places to sit on the inside. It's a smaller.
But it's mostly about grabbing a picnic table outside.
Right. And with the ambiance there, I actually like the music they play.
I love looking at those toilets.
Well, the music they play, the jazzy music where they take pop songs, jazz.
It's like Bridgerton, but for jazz instead of classical.
Yeah.
What is the theme of Baseline Tap House?
I think it's just
brewery.
Contemporary.
Yeah.
I think
the theme is brewery.
Yeah. I actually, it came out as a dead tie 15-15 for me. Rose and Crown and Tap House.
My Rose and Crown vote was 16 and Baseline was 14.5. I gave Baseline low on theming and ambiance just because every time I've been there, it's just been really loud and crowded. I've never heard this jazz music that you've been talking about. To me, Baseline Tap House is just, it's just a bar. There's really nothing else elevating it. It's just a bar. It has a decent beer selection. And the beer selection is pretty fairly priced. But to me, it's just a bar.
I have this at 16 versus 17, and that's the only thing that puts Baseline ahead is the fact that it serves food. So if I don't count that, it actually flips reverse for me. So I'm having a bit of, again, like I said, a conflict of conscience about this.
But again, for me, I'm just not using food as too heavy of a hitter, especially in a place like Epcot where you can probably walk 50 yards and get something else.
I don't. There's a food stall around, like, attached to it. So I think I'm going to, because it's at Epcot, I'm going to avoid my food scores for both places. Baseline Tap House needs to offer something there in terms of food.
Yeah.
But because Epcot is what it is, the bar part of Rose and Crown does not need to offer any food. And I'm going to nullify my 2 points of baseline Tap House's food and bring that score down to a 15, and Rose and Crown has a 16, and that's my vote.
So you're voting Rose and Crown.
Rose and Crown.
I think Rose and Crown is just the more fun experience. I think baseline, I mean, this is, again, this is all our personal experience. At the end of the day, that's what we're really voting a lot of this on. Baseline Tap House kind of, you're gonna be with your group. You're gonna be with your party. I have never been into Rose and Crown and not started conversations with strangers.
Made a friend.
Yep. Talked to another group of people. Bought drinks for another group of people. Had drinks bought for me. It just feels like that, you know, an English pub environment where everyone's drunk and friendly. And sometimes we get asked to leave. Sometimes we stay. But you know, it is. But yeah, for me, just the experience. They're both great bars. I love Baseline. I'm not trying to take a hit on it. But for me, it's pretty easily Rose and Crown.
So I'm going with Baseline, and for all the reasons I said before. But you know, Rose and Crown, I love it. I go every single time. Mm-hmm. I always get the half and half, half Harp, half Guinness, right? I just think that, like, sometimes, like, it seems like you're fighting to get a spot at the bar so that you could order, and it takes a long time to get that beer back. I feel
You're in Europe now, so you're on their time.
You're on their time. So anyway, I'm going to go Baseline. So we're two Rose and Crown to one Baseline. The listeners handedly gave it to Baseline.
That is not surprising.
So
wow,
it was a score of 31-14.
Okay,
Baseline. So we go to
no fans of the Pimm's Cup then in what? Our no fans of a Pimm's Cup in our listenership.
He doesn't know what a Pimm's Cup is.
A Pimm's Cup is a cocktail that's popular at pubs in Britain, and they serve
Isn't
it
that Pimm's?
At
no, yeah, Pimm's Cup's I don't
good.
Know.
That's good. It's a nice drink.
Yeah. I have shirts from both places too.
Your shirts from both places.
From both places. So I don't know.
It's close to your heart, but
you should sew the shirts together like a mom watching both her sons play.
like play Mama football. Kelsey.
Yeah.
Sewed an Eagles jersey and a Chiefs jersey together.
Well, so we're tied.
It sounds
tied.
To me like Ty goes to we the have tender. To talk to the Geyser Point bartender. Teslin,
yes,
again.
Teslin from Geyser Point. She voted Rose and Crown.
Rose and Crown lives.
Justice. Justice for a great bar. It's hardly justice. Yeah,
I mean, they're both justified to move on, but I feel very strongly that Rose and Crown is a it almost deserves a bonus point for how fun it is while you're in there.
Yeah.
It's tight and it's this, but it's a different environment. It's a little more rowdy.
It's like an X factor.
It is an X factor for sure.
Yeah. So the next region, we're moving on to our resort region.
Okay, to start off the resorts region, we've got the 9-seed Trader Sam's Grog Grotto versus which is at the Polynesian.
Yes, right.
Against the Dahlia Lounge at Coronado Springs.
This Have at it.
This is a matchup that once I ran the numbers, something that I didn't expect would happen happened.
What? Wow. I'm shocked.
I am a little too.
So I'm looking at JJ's numbers right now for the listeners, and he gave Dahlia Lounge an 18 and a Trader Sam's a 17. Want to explain that?
You made it sound like you gave like a 4 to Trader Sam's.
No, but I'm shocked that Dahlia Lounge beat Trader Sam's in JJ's own opinion there. Ranking.
Yes. So I guess I'll talk about my score specifically, even though we haven't really been doing that. Everyone can see my screen because I'm recording, so I have the big monitor. I think Trader Sam's is the best themed bar experience, and it is it's a destination. It's an attraction in and of itself, but you gotta wait to experience it, just like any good attraction. It has food, very limited options.
You gave it a 6 in theme.
I gave it a 6 in theme. I had to weigh it comparatively to everything else. And it is the singular best thing of any bar is the theme of Trader Sam's.
Trader Sam's got fives from me in ambiance and theme.
So I got, and I did four in ambiance and six in theme.
Yeah.
I didn't go above five, but I agree with JJ. Yeah, I gave four and five for ambiance.
Yeah. If I was going to say, if there was any like one thing that's like, well, what is the best singular thing at any bar? Mm-hmm. I would say it is Trader Sam's theming. Yeah. It is the singular best thing at any bar in Walt Disney World. So I gave it a six.
Okay. All right. That's
it might
fair.
Be me putting my thumb on the scale, but I was very fair. I only gave it a two in terms of drink selection. Because
yeah.
I took our host who said, I don't like rum tiki drinks.
Right.
And although the bartenders make them right, they make them there and they're really good, strong drinks. They are very sweet. And your options for beers are very limited. Your options for wine is very limited.
So I'm so sorry to do this, but I have in here, I will concede they have other drinks. Because on the menu...
You're conceding.
On the menu...
No one concedes is happy about it.
They have actually quite a more beers than I thought. I really thought that there was just Bud Light or Michelob, and that was it.
No, they have
Kona Big Wave.
Yeah, they've got Kona. They've got an IPA somewhere.
They're all bottled.
Yes.
They're not tapped.
Right.
But... You know, I guess I could get something different there. It's just then you're there as a spectator. You're a spectator.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. That like if you're going there with, you know, one other person, it might feel a little silly to go in there and drink a Bud Light. But like if you're part of like a group of five or six people and you want to get the beer. But I gave I gave Trader Sam's fives across the board on ambiance and theme. I gave it. I used my half point. Rubric here. I gave it a 3.5 on drinks because I thought a 4 was too high, but a 3 maybe was not good enough. I don't know. Mm. The drinks are very expensive.
Yeah. Yes.
Very expensive. They're very sweet. And I don't, maybe you agree or disagree, but when JJ and I were there, we got two drinks that they classified as made for two people. Could have easily taken those down.
One of them was definitely shareable, but they advertised that as like up to four
for people. Multiple people. Yeah.
And yeah. We drank it just me and him without a problem.
Yeah.
And then the one that they said this one's for two was literally just one person.
Like we probably each got maybe four sips out of it.
Yeah.
So in drink selection, I gave it a little bit of a knock because I think the kitschiness of it and the gimmick almost of it is really what you're going there for.
And in comparison, Dahlia Lounge has the most extensive drink menu of any of these places.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It was huge. It's huge.
Huge drink menu.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's so true. And in Dahlia Lounge, I mean, you have a beautiful bar, the backdrop of the bar, the bar mm-hmm. wall
that
there.
The wall is amazing. You're on the roof of Coronado, so you do get a nice view. It's not a perfect view because, I mean, obviously, you don't have a view of the castle or
right.
whatever. You're all the way on the other side of the property. You know?
Yeah, and you don't have a great... fireworks view. You can watch some fireworks from I think Hollywood Studios if you
yeah, I guess
turn
a little
the
bit
right
of
way.
Phantasmic, but what is that?
Yeah,
even?
Yeah. It's like you have to, or maybe it was Epcot, but you have to be on the edge and turn your head to the left and like lean over a little bit.
But it's got good seating. It's a nice place. You could really hang out at the Dahlia Lounge.
Yeah, yeah.
It definitely welcomes that
couch seating outside,
but. Really hard to get to.
Yeah.
You have to basically, you just have to take an Uber there mm-hmm. unless you're staying at Coronado.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There's almost no reason to go there unless you're making a special trip to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to happen upon Coronado Springs.
Yeah.
You got to go looking for it.
It would be interesting, like, doing a purposeful drinking around Coronado Springs. There's enough bars there. The Barcelona Bar, this bar, the Dahlia Bar, the Three Bridges Bar,
Rick's
Sports Bar. Sports Bar. Ain't that four's enough? That's enough to do a crawl.
The Coronado Crawl.
The Coronado Crawl. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I this was one that I've never been to the Dahlia Lounge, so I was doing a lot of menu looking, customer picture looking. It looks like a beautiful bar. Definitely a bar I'd love to sit at and have a whiskey. But for posterity and for Disney, my vote for this is still Trader Sam's.
I'm really torn again.
Yeah.
And maybe my scores, I was trying to be really fair, and I may have an underscored Trader Sam's in some places.
I don't know. You gave it a 6 for thinking.
Yeah, but I gave it a 2 in drink selection, and I think I'm the low man on that. And I like fun tiki drinks.
Yeah.
My thing is, you can have the Dahlia experience at a lot of other bars in Disney World. It's a very good lounge bar. So for me, that doesn't necessarily elevate it. Whereas that could be a hit against Trader Sam's, whereas that's number one, that's the only place you can have that experience at Disney World. But it's also a place where you can't just go to Trader Sam's to like sit at the bar and talk with your group and have a beer.
No, you
have to be willing to be part of the experience. But I think most of the people, if you were to go there and have no idea what you're getting into, I would maybe feel a little bad for you.
Yeah.
But like, people that are going there know exactly what they're getting into and what they're about to experience for however long they're there. So I my vote for this is Trader Sam's, just because it's such a unique experience.
I'm also gonna not listen to my score and vote for Trader Sam's.
Okay, no, that's fair. And we made that decision, you know, off air, but that this was not, our scores weren't the end all of
it. Right.
The score says Dahlia Lounge wins by 1, but I do think, in a vacuum, if someone said, I'm going to Disney World, like, is there like a really cool or special place I need to go make a trip and devote some time to? Trader Sam's is a place I would recommend. And Dahlia Lounge is like, it's almost too off the beaten path for me to consider it the best bar in Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was the only... Oh, no. One other. So
I gave it a 1 in accessibility.
You gave it 1 in accessibility. Yes, because
Dahlia Lounge.
Because it does sometimes take... Oh, Dahlia Lounge, you gave a 1. And Trader Sam's, you gave
it a 2.
Right. Because it is very difficult to get in. You have to wait on a list.
But it's easy to get there because it's on the monorail.
Right.
It's easy to get to and put your name on the list.
Right.
But once you're there, you could have a
wait. And there's plenty to do at the Polynesian to occupy your time.
You could go have a drink of the Wailulu.
The wait does stink. The wait does stink, and I'll admit that.
Yeah. Well, I'm voting Trader Sam's as well.
Wow.
Yeah. It did. It just won in my scoring, 19-15, and even with the 3-hour wait I put on here, it's not a 3-hour wait. I'm joking, but it's a long wait, and I do feel like whenever I'm in there, I'm being rushed, or they are very concerned about how drunk you are, right?
Well, sure.
Yeah, and I think they're more so... I think that's why they do that 2-drink, right?
At Oga's.
No. Oh, no, the 2 people have to drink this drink. This is a drink for 2 people.
At Trader Sam's.
Yeah.
Because they're overly concerned more than any other bar that I've been to.
I think it's because so many parents take kids there.
They're definitely policing.
Theming,
how drunk you get.
The theming is so spectacular that children do go there.
There's
a family bar. Trader Sam's is definitely a bar you would conceivably take a kid to.
Yeah. It is the size of an arcade, because it literally was the arcade before it was this. But I'm going Trader Sam's.
Like, it doesn't feel like an arcade, though. It feels like you've been transported to Hawaii when you look out those windows and you see a volcano.
It's a great view. Our volcanologist.
Our volcano expert.
The volcanologist. Order an AOA. You'll watch a volcano erupt. That's what a volcanologist has learned.
So the listeners also agreed that Trader Sam's wins over Dahlia Bar. So Dahlia Lounge.
Yeah.
Dahlia
Lounge. But Dahlia Lounge, I mean, if you're staying at Coronado Springs, it's definitely it's only one of the best, like, pure hotel bar situation. Mm-hmm. like this is a bar that's at a hotel. Like, that's unbelievable for a bar at a hotel.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with the conference, that there's a conference resort,
and they're trying to show off the Grandestino Tower. Mm-hmm. That's a really nice place. They went out of their way to make that place a little more special than the rest of that resort.
All right, so our next matchup.
Yeah, so the last matchup of the 16s, we have the Scat Cats Club over at Port Orleans French Quarter against the Crew Cup Lounge over at the Yacht Club.
This is just an interesting match because I think Andrew will disagree. For me, this was kind of like the battle of mid. Like, there, I had nothing over the top to say about either one of these places. I think they're both just absolutely fine for what they are, which isn't a bad thing.
Right.
You know, it's giving you exactly what you're looking for. It's a bar, a lounge, somewhere to get in off your feet, sit down in maybe a nice chair, nice lounge, a nice couch, get a drink. It's really, neither one of these things are offering anything that kind of jumps off the table to me. And both of them are at resorts that you're probably not going to unless you specifically are staying there, or perhaps you want to resort hop a little bit. So accessibility is low scores for both of them for me. But yeah, these were two just middle of the road bars.
So I gotta say, Crew Cup Lounge and Nomad Lounge are my two highest ranked
bars in
16. and I actually gave this my only 5 in accessibility because for Crew Cup. Because
why?
I can't think of a more accessible bar than at like the Yacht and Beach Club is well traveled. Right, it's right outside of Epcot.
Of the back entrance of Epcot that people don't even use.
It has the Skyliner has access to it.
Doesn't necessarily mean people go there.
But doesn't make
there,
it a 5.
You can walk from both theme parks to it. Right.
These are all correct.
Yes,
but
and I also
the average person going on a trip to Walt Disney World, I don't think half of those people that are on vacation are going past the Yacht Club. I don't think, but I can guarantee you 50% of every person that's going to Walt Disney World is walking past the Rose and Crown.
So this is where we disagreed on accessibility, because I took it as if it's in a theme park, it's actually bad for accessibility because it's behind, for me, a paywall, right? That you have to pay $150 in order to have access to that bar, right? Well,
yeah, but who's hanging out?
No, well,
who's going to Disney World just to grab a drink?
Yeah,
locals that already have a annual pass. That's about it, right? Like the only people that would be going to Disney World just to have a drink,
yeah,
are locals that if they're going to Disney World to have a drink already have an annual pass.
Well, that's not necessarily always the case.
And it's not always the case, but the majority of the time.
My whole thing is, I think the Crew Cub Lounge is a place that you're not seeking it out. It doesn't have a reputation. It doesn't have this you know, lore to it.
You know
it exists because you've stayed at the Yacht Club. And I think the majority of casual Disney World visitors are not in the tier of guests that are going to be staying at the Yacht Club,
so
they don't know it exists.
That's why I also bumped it to a 5 on accessibility, because it's because of that it's not crowded. It's like a hidden secret. It's like a hidden bar, kind of, right?
Right, but how accessible is something that's hidden?
Well, no, it's hidden in the sense that no one knows about it. Like, not many people know about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, and also why I, then the rest of that was all 4s going down the list. 4s for ambiance. The booths, again, like the high, medium, low seating. It's not crowded or loud. You can watch a game in there, have a conversation. The theme, it's got a pretty good Yacht Club theme. The boat in the center of the ceiling. You get to look into the yachtsman's butcher and see the yachtsman guys butchering up the steaks and everything like that. Like, that's pretty cool. It's got a great bar selection, and this didn't translate to the menu online, but they have a whole book of wines that you could be looking through.
Because it's the yachtsman's.
It's the steakhouse's drink menu.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so it's because it has the yachtsman's wine list, right, then it has some really special wine.
You'll find that wine list if you go look at specifically the yachtsman's menu.
Yes.
Right, but not if you look at the Crew Cup menu, you're going to see just the beers and liquors they offer.
I'm not a big scotch guy, but it had a ton of scotches on there.
I mean, but the Scat Cat Club does have music. It's got a live jazz combo. It has boozy beignets, a one of one, a very special thing that's just for them. Crew Cup's got really good food because it takes some of the highlights of Yachtsman and puts it in a bar menu form.
Right.
Which is great. I think Scat Cat Club comes up just short for me, and Crew Cup is my choice.
Yeah, the reason I don't really care for Scat Cat Club is without the music, it's just a room.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the thing that sets the mood, and it's the thing that gives it a theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say my knocks for Scat Cats. I've actually never been in there when they were doing music.
Yeah, me neither.
It's a thing that I think only happens, which it only happens at night, which makes sense. It's probably when they're the most crowded. But the Scat Cats Club does not open until 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go there, you got to wait until a little later in the afternoon. And it, just where it is in Port Orleans, if you're not looking for it, you're walking right by it. It doesn't have a very well placed entrance. There's no sign for it.
Right.
You're it's very easy to miss. I actually didn't, like, at the first round of this, I had no idea what it was because I didn't know the name of it. And you guys were like, oh, no, that's where we went. I was like, oh, that's where we went. Because I didn't know it was called the Scat Cats Club. So I don't think it's well advertised or well, displayed.
Because it's like a hotel lobby bar. Like, how do you know the name? I mean, going back to Animal Kingdom Lodge, how do you know the name of Victoria Falls Lounge?
Right.
Yeah. It's just the lobby bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, other than... And the boozy beignets, I'm pretty sure, I don't even know if that's necessarily Scat Cat's thing. You can get them there, but I think you can get the boozy beignets a little earlier in the day than Scat yes. Cat's is open. So while it's delicious, I don't even know if I would give credit to Scat Cat's for that. So I love Port Orleans. I love their offerings at the resort, but I mean, Andrew had a lot more nice things to say about Crew Cup, but for me, this is still kind of the battle of eh. I'm probably going to vote for Crew Cup.
Yeah, Scat Clap.
Scat what?
Scat Clap.
Scat Cat Club is it's a bit out of the way, right? You're not going to Port Orleans unless you
mean accessibility to, score of one.
So, yeah. the food, only small bites. They are unique. It is a lot of Los Angeles, not Los Angeles. It's a very New Orleans specific stuff, right? So that's really that's good. That's unique. But the theme, yeah, it loses the theme and it's a little strange in there if there's no music.
The theme is also not well translated in the room. Like there's like a nice like purple carpet and like they have big chairs, but like I don't, when I'm sitting in that room, I don't feel like, oh, this is New Orleans.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
we're a clean sweep for the Crew Cup.
Crew Cup.
I think Crew Cup.
And what did the listeners say?
I went on that Crew Cup rampage because I thought that I was fighting.
You were going to have to fight for it.
I thought I was fighting for Crew Cup. Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I still don't think it's a great place.
Oh, next time you might have to.
So Crew Cup beats Scat Cats Club handedly. Yeah.
And thank God he doesn't have to say Scat Cats Club.
Yeah, I'm done saying Scat Cats Club. Scat Cat Club, Scat Cat Club, Scat Cat Club.
That's one of the best times he says it.
Now he says it.
All right, so that's our Sweet 16.
That's the Sweet 16.
We have our Elite Eight.
Phew, boy.
So before we start our Elite Eight, I wanted to tell us about the new tiebreaker. Right. So, Tess, thank you so much, Tess, from Geyser Point for being our tiebreaker for the Sweet 16.
So, tie no longer goes to the tender.
Tie no longer goes to the tender.
Okay.
Okay. So, we did get a last minute bracket submission from a former American Express employee, computer scientist, America's national treasure, Len Testa.
No.
Yeah. Yes. We reached out to the Touring Plan CEO and Disney Dish host, Len Testa.
And amazing.
He responded. And he responded. He apologized for being late because he was at an archaeologist conference.
That's incredible.
If I had a nickel for every time I got that excuse.
So yes, we have Len Testa's bracket here, which I can't wait to go over I feel like when we're done with this, we should see where we went and where Len went.
So the tie will go to Len Testa for the Elite Eight.
Yes.
Oh, incredible.
I calculated his scores and it'll be very rare if if he comes up with a tie too. But yeah, it's gonna, I'm so excited.
It's a big moment for the pod.
That is so cool.
Len also wants us to reach out when we're done to tell him how the bracket went. So
amazing.
Yeah,
that is absolutely incredible. So we got the Elite Eight now. Let's find out what the best bar in Disney Springs is.
Yes.
This is maybe the matchup of matchups.
This is a good one. And this is what I thought it was going to come down to.
Yes.
And we all have thoughts on both of these.
In my mind and in my heart, these are the two best bars in Disney Springs. Everyone did a fantastic job. Top to bottom.
Only bar that I think could have beaten one of these wasn't in this region.
Oh, you mean for the whole thing?
Yeah.
So this is two of your top of all.
We didn't each do a bracket.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
You're saying that there was something in the restaurants.
Yes.
Division that you
think could have edged one of these, maybe.
Okay.
But if I were to do a bracket from day one, this matchup would have been where I came out.
It was destined to happen. Yeah. Yeah. They're right next to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want to compare the two for yourself the next time you're in Disney Springs, it's really easy to grab one drink at this place and one drink at the place right next door. We have the Dockside Bar at the Boathouse, the 4 seed, against the number 6 seed, Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar.
Mm.
This is it, guys. Wow.
Yeah. This is exciting.
I'm ready to go. My numbers say it's a tie. But I'm ready to hear arguments either way.
So I think the Boathouse ambiance really elevates the Dockside Boathouse. You know, being in the middle of the water, seeing those boats on the TV, those rich people boats on the TV, right? Those
You could walk outside at Jock Lindsay's and get the same water view.
You're not in the bar then anymore, though.
You're still in the bar.
There's an outside bar at Jock Lindsay's.
There's an outside part of it.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah. That changes everything.
Yeah. There's a whole outside part. There's a whole separate outside bar that's flanks. Granted, your back is to it.
Where the boats
come down is where the outside bar is.
Now,
you'd have to do is flip your seat around away from the bartender, and you could literally watch every single boat enter.
So there's two bars at Jock Lindsay's?
Yes. There's an inside bar and an outside bar.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And they're kind of back to back.
Yep.
So like
I would I think there's a window that hands drinks from the
inside.
Maybe they'll hand
if there's a special liquor that they only have one bottle of, maybe they got a Blanton's or something really high end, maybe higher end than Blanton's. They might be passing that bottle through a window. But yes, the bars are literally back to back.
Wow. I am confirming right now. And yes,
when I left Disney Springs, I got to my bachelor party before everybody else because my flight was early. And I was in Disney Springs. I had several drinks at Jock Lindsay's at the outside bar. I watched a boat go down. I had lunch at Boathouse. I went to both places. And I know the numbers say it's a tie, but I know in my heart it's Jock Lindsay.
So, Vegan Disney World has confirmed that there is a bar outside of Jock Lindsay's.
Well, thank God for Vegan Disney World. and not the experience of your two podcast hosts here.
Two guys that host a Disney World podcast.
That are telling you from personal experience, this outside bar exists.
Yeah, but I've only known you guys for 20 years.
That's true. He only knew Vegan
and
Disney.
He's known about Vegan
Disney World for the last 30 seconds. I'll say this. I think even though Jock Lindsay's has an outdoor bar, it's so hard to beat on a nice afternoon or even a nice evening. That bar at Dockside Bar is one of the, I think, maybe the best place to be in Disney Springs because it's just, you could see everything.
It's a special place with a really strong drink menu.
Yeah.
And I'll give the edge to the food because you could order anything from Boathouse.
From the Boathouse menu.
And Boathouse has hits and misses, but they have good food.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible to get a bad meal at Boathouse, but the good stuff there is good.
Yeah, yeah.
My one hit against this bar,
I don't know how fair or unfair it is to the actual bar itself. I wish there was a better way to get to it than having to walk up, like, clean through the middle of the boathouse restaurant. Because you're walking, yes. you're walking right in past the front, the almost like the concierge or the people that are waiting to take you to your table. And you're walking past tables, you know, almost like you're just, I don't know. It always feels kind of awkward.
It feels especially weird when you're in a large group and you're like, me and six other people are just about to walk through the whole restaurant.
Yeah. And you have to walk past those people that are eating at the boat.
Yep. Oh, in the boat, that's so cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
So it feels a little awkward getting out there. But
there should be a bypass.
Yeah, I think there should be a separate entrance. Yeah. But I think that it's Dockside Boathouse Bar, for me, is the best bar in Disney Springs.
Yeah, when you get a nice breeze out there and it's, you know,
and there's that whole extended down. If you want more of a waiter service, but stay on the water, there's that whole area even down farther and around. You don't have to sit right in front of the bar. You can get your own table.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And there, it's not just the bar. They do have two tops and everything like that. Yeah. Now, Jock Lindsay's has booths. Booths are nice.
Yes, it's got booths. It's got the Indiana Jones theme.
Yep.
To me, they're neck and neck. I give my vote to Jock Lindsay because it's a theme park and it's a themed bar. And I'll probably keep my thumb on the scale for the themed stuff through this next round. But I'm voting for Jock Lindsay.
If I were to just like, if someone would say to me, hey, let's get a drink right now, you know, and then put those two right up and against each other, I'm going to say Boathouse.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
So the listeners also said Dockside Bar at the Boathouse.
Fair. It's definitely a classier place, too.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's a great place for, you know, you could have date night at Disney Springs at the Boathouse, the Dockside Bar at Boathouse.
Yeah. Do you want to know what Len Testa said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. What does Len say?
So Len would have also said the Dockside Bar.
The first entry into our final four.
Congratulations to
Dockside Bar
at Boathouse.
Wow.
This is a special moment, guys.
Oh, so now we're going into the restaurant.
Yes.
There's only one matchup.
Oh. That is the winner of this Disney Springs. This is the best bar at Disney Springs.
Is Dockside.
Yes.
Bar.
This is a big deal.
It's coming out of the region.
I totally agree with that too. I think I would have done that if we made our own brackets. I would have had Dockside as winning. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's Dockside and Jock Lindsay. Those are the, you know, 1 and 2, 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
I'm not upset about it. That was a hard-fought match, and it was great.
All right, so the Walulu Bar.
Yeah.
Against Geyser Point Bar and Grill.
These are kind of the same place. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I love both these places. I mean, I've only been to Walulu one time, but it really made an impact on me. And I don't know how much I love the Island Tower in general, but this bar was really, really cool. And the whole grill area is pretty cool. Like, if you sit in the booths, and this is a little bit outside the bar, but if you sit in the booths, you have behind you an infinity pool kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool concept. It's not anywhere else in
Disney. It enhances the ambiance.
It does. You're constantly hearing water run, so you just keep on running to the bathroom.
I was going
to
say, for me, that would be terrible.
But I will say that I like the ambiance of Geyser Point a little bit better. It's quieter in that area of Wilderness Lodge than in this area of the Polynesian.
I think I have, okay, so full disclosure, I have never been to either of these places, but I've heard enough about Geyser Point, good Lord, from this guy over here, to know that I like the theme of the Wilderness Lodge, Geyser Point, outdoors, you know, in the middle of the woods kind of feel more than, I feel like Wailulu is going to be very popular and thereby very crowded a lot of the time. The Polynesian is very popular and new things tend to just get crowded. So for me, the vote here is Geyser Point personally, just because I don't have really much to offer in terms of reviews for either one of these places.
So it's a dead tie between these two places. They have identical scores in each place because I consider them to be basically the same place, just with a slightly different theme. One is themed to Polynesia. And the other one is themed to being on a lake in the wilderness.
Yeah.
You know, they both have good food. They both have a solid theme, great ambiance, but not perfect, because obviously if either of them were an aerial view up on the top of a tower, it would have been the thing that elevates it.
Yeah.
Any volcanoes at Waialua?
There's no volcano, so the volcanologist can't use that to swing the vote.
But Geyser Point does have a geyser that you can see off to the left.
That's kind of like a volcano.
That is the volcano of the water.
So true.
Of the Northwest, the volcano of the Northwest.
That is the volcano of the Great Plains.
Well, no, there is, but actually, that is part of the it is kind of heated up the same way. It's magma and stuff.
Right.
So, they're kind of cousins, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A geyser is the cousin of the volcano, and don't check the science on that, or do write us. Check the science.
So, I think I'm gonna have to vote with Geyser Point, my true love for Geyser Point. Waialua, it was really good, but it's only been open for like 3 months, and you don't know how things are going to shake out.
Is it going to be different when everyone knows about it?
Right. And I don't know if that's necessarily fair to hold it against what the future might be.
But unproven, it's hard to earn a spot in the final four.
Right. Right.
This is the Elite Eight. We're saying this is one of the eight best bars in Walt Disney World, and it's only been around for like 3 months.
Yeah.
That is extremely high praise.
Yes. Yes.
I think I will give a vote for experience, and I'm going to vote for Geyser Point.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going Geyser Point, and Sean?
As well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I love the idea of Waialua Bar and Grill, and I hope, in 10 years when we're revisiting this topic on the podcast, that we are able to maybe amend this matchup.
Yeah. The audience also agreed with us. The listener score gave Geyser Point the edge over Waialua. But I think has to be because they didn't try it.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to tell you guys that
neither
Len
one of these bars made it.
Waialua going into the championship.
Wow.
I should have listened to Len.
Yeah, so
Hawaii's closer to volcanoes.
Waialua definitely beats or definitely wins in Len's eyes. Geyser Point, he only had it winning one. So who did Geyser Point lose to for Len? The Raglan Road Irish Pub.
I know Len's right.
You know what? And if you put Raglan Road in here, I would have voted for Raglan Road to come out of this bracket. If this was a three-way matchup of Raglan Road, Waialua, and Geyser Point, I would have thrown ambiance out the window because of the tie, where they're both great views.
So Geyser
would have just thrown it out, and I would have said Raglan Road.
So Raglan Road had lost to Geyser Point
previously.
Yeah.
Thanks to Honorary Geek Michael.
Yes.
Well, and it was a tie. Honorary Geek Michael loves both these places. So
But he voted for views, the indoor-outdoor. That was a thing that he mentioned, and you also mentioned suspiciously the phrase indoor-outdoor.
We're still conducting research on that.
It's under investigation.
Yeah,
that's definitely
something about collusion.
All right, so Geyser Point continues on to our final four, and
welcome to the final four, Geyser Point.
We did it!
All right, fellas, the final two in our parks region: Animal Kingdom's Nomad Lounge versus Epcot's Rosencrown Pub.
These are the two best bars in any theme park in the world. I feel confident saying that.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, how many theme parks in the world have specific bars like Disney does?
The best bar. Well, there's two great bars at California Adventure.
Okay.
The Lamplight Lounge, it's called now, which is right on the water. You can watch World of Color from there.
Yeah.
Mm. That's a really great spot. Definitely a contender for that. And, Carthay Circle, right when you walk in, it's that beautiful old Hollywood building right when you enter the park at California Adventure. I mean, those two places are also really special.
Disney's good at making bars.
maybe they should get back into making more bars, yeah, like a Pleasure Island 2.
I do think this was the strongest region.
Yes.
Any region that has multiple bars from Epcot is definitely the heavy hitter region.
Yeah.
But this is a tough one.
So
this is a tough one.
I'm going to say something. My scores say that Nomad Lounge is the best bar. It was my highest score of any of these places. And that is also accounting for the fact that Nomad Lounge, if you want to experience it the right way, you probably have to wait to get seated. Mm. So I docked it points for accessibility, where I gave Rosencrown a full 5 points for accessibility. I only gave Nomad Lounge 3 points.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I docked it pretty significantly for the wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of the only places that I gave 2 fives. I gave a 5 for ambiance and I gave a 5 for food, because it's much like Crew Cup, where it's like some of the highlights in bar food form of the Yachtsman. This is Tiffin's.
Yeah.
But a shorter menu of some of the best food you can get at all of Animal Kingdom.
Like, you can get the Tiffin's bread service.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can get bread service there. The churros are really good. The even the burger there is very good.
Yeah. I think that it's two different mindsets when you're going to these places, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm, like you had said before, Sean, about Rose and Crown, it's a party in there, right? Yes. You're going in there to talk to people, hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cheers. It accomplishes the goal of being a British pub in a theme park exceptionally well.
You're not going to Rosencrown to get off your feet and relax for a half hour. You're going to Rosencrown to join the party that's probably already started without you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Oh, and so how do you pick one when it's two different mindsets?
I'm using the math, and I think in a vacuum, I have to trust my math. Nomad Lounge has one of the best drinks in all of Walt Disney World there. It's got great food. It's got great views. It's got a great ambiance. It's a place that you want to spend some time there, take a break from your day at Animal Kingdom, absorb some of that atmosphere, and then head off to your next thing once you've had a nice hour sit and a couple drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it may happen in this very round, but I think, even though I said I don't hold this criteria item in as high of an esteem as you guys may, I just think eventually Rosencrown is going to take a big hit for offering no food.
Right.
The other two bars that have already made it to the Final Four, we've gone at length about how good the food offerings are at both of them. And I mean, we're already talking about the food that's so good at Nomad Lounge because you can get it from Tiffin's menu. My vote for this round, I'm voting off of gut and experience and heart. My vote's going to be for Rosencrown in this round, but I think eventually the food aspect of this bar is going to be its downfall.
Yeah. I mean, if Rosencrown goes down before, I won't show Andrew's hand. If Rosencrown goes down, I actually do think food is the thing that would bring it down, because it is such a special party environment.
Yeah, but as we narrow this down, it becomes more about the whole experience of being there and less about one thing. You don't get that party atmosphere at Nomad Lounge, but that's really all you get at Rosencrown, is a fun party atmosphere.
Right.
So if we're talking about offerings that everything has, eventually I think Rosencrown loses. It will be my vote for this round.
Yeah. You know what's funny is one of my experiences at Nomad Lounge, it started pouring as we were waiting outside, and they rushed us all inside, right?
Yeah.
And there's a room in the back. So if you go past, you walk past the bar, turn right, there's like a room in the back there where they have additional seating, but they only open it up when there's like something like this, where it's like pouring rain.
Oh.
And so we call it the Room of Requirement. Right.
That's a Universal property. Hey,
that is a Volvo. Technically, it's a Warner property that has a contract through Universal for the theme park rights. This is whole thing. That's some real nerd stuff. That in the bracket of best bar in Walt Disney World, I don't know if we're ready for that conversation.
I think I have to go Nomad Lounge. I'm going to go with my numbers, even though like I just went to Animal Kingdom and I didn't go to Nomad Lounge. Emily did with the two Emilys, my wife and honorary geek Emily Bachelor did. But we, you know, if I'm going to Epcot, I'm definitely going to Rose and Crown. But I think I got to go Nomad Lounge.
I'm trusting my numbers. Yep. So what do the fans say?
So the fans also went Nomad Lounge.
What about Len?
Len. Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah. You know, you guys, I can't wait to show you this bracket. It's so amazing. It's amazing.
Well, he is the expert of experts. I actually think he needs to give us titles of honorary geek.
Yeah, because he's the OG geek, right?
Yeah.
So he had Rose and Crown losing to
La Cava.
That was their first matchup.
Yes.
Well, second matchup.
And he had Nomad Lounge losing to Toonin Lounge.
Wow.
So his was La Cava versus Toonin.
Yep.
At the end.
Yeah.
And I'm saying he had La Cava going on.
Yep.
That's how I would have voted if I had La Cava left.
Yeah.
Yep. And actually, you know what's funny? La Cava versus Nomad. No, it's still Nomad.
I don't know. I think the conversation's a little different because
it is a little different because La Cava offers a little
more food. It's got a more, if the conversation was Nomad Lounge versus La Cava, I'd think it's La Cava for me.
But La Cava, the drink selection number is going to be low because it's very tequila forward.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
But I respect it. I mean, La Cava is a vibe.
It's a vibe, but it's so small. You know, the seating area, it is, you know.
But small, but so is Rose and Crown. Like small is,
yeah.
Breed's fun. Like a fun environment.
You can't go to La Cava and stand at the bar for a while.
Yeah.
You gotta get a drink and leave.
Yeah.
But the Rose and Crown, you can stay there for a while.
Oh yeah. And we have.
Yeah.
You might say we've worn out our welcome there. So
I just want to also go back to Tess because she had this matchup. Of Nomad versus Rose and Crown.
So, but Ty doesn't go to the tender. So.
Ty does not go to the tender, but she did say Nomad. So,
so fair. Well,
beating Rose and Crown while it's already dead. Oh, all right, guys.
All right, so let's head.
Congratulations to the Nomad Lounge.
Yes, congratulations, Nomad Lounge.
Well, that's progress for you.
So let's head to our resort region, which is our last matchup in our Elite Eight.
Wow.
We've come so far.
Guys, we've come so far.
Yeah.
And in the Elite Eight, we've got Trader Sam's Grog Grotto against the Crew Cup Lounge. So these are two of the best bars at the hotels. We did a good job.
I think so.
We did a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, I also think that this is proof positive that there are just a lot of really good bars at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I'm just going to get right into it. I'm going with the bar that I actually enjoy. And that's going to be the Crew Cup line. That was a little harsh.
That's fair. Yeah. Look, we're at the end. We've spoken a lot about both these places.
There is no more we can say about any of these bars that hasn't been said.
Yeah.
Opinions have been given. We've done a deep dive on their menus, their offerings.
My scores say it's a tie, and I'm going to break the tie by giving it to Trader Sam's.
Okay. The X Factor.
Because it's the X Factor of it being it is a one of one. It's an experience. It's an attraction. It gets a vote.
Yeah. I mean, we're in Disney World. It's everything you go to Disney World for. Fun and mystique and how are they doing this and being kind of goofy and silly and having fun doing it. It's very easily Trader Sam's for me in this matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do want to go back to Trader Sam's and maybe like we just did an episode on Overlooked. And so maybe like I should go back. The last time I went there, it was almost midnight. They were almost closing or something like that, or maybe it was almost 11, and I just felt like rushed, judged for, you know, I don't know, for wanting a drink, or I didn't like the experience.
It was also, that was still pretty pandemic time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was 22. It was 2022.
Oh, 22. Yeah. Oh, okay. So then maybe,
yeah,
not so much.
But my other times were pandemic times, and then I only went once pre-pandemic in 2018, and Emily and I really enjoyed ourselves. We sat at the bar, talked to the bartender the whole time.
Me and Sean sat next to a couple. We sat in a nice lounge seating. Yeah. It was a nice, comfortable seat. Met a wonderful couple. We had a nice conversation. We had some laughs. They helped us with the menu because we told them we were first timers.
Yep.
And they were like, oh, order this. This does this thing. It's so cool. Order this drink if you want a souvenir, and like all this. It was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's another thing that I think can either add to your experience or take away from your experience.
It's a, yes.
The fact that you, unless you go in there with like a party of five or six or more, you're probably going to be sat with strangers.
Right.
And depending on your mood, depending on how much you've already had to drink, maybe your personality type, that might add or detract from your experience. You just have to be kind of ready for anything.
Yeah.
I think Trader Sam's does involve a certain commitment.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth it.
It's like you said it before, it's your attraction.
It's an attraction.
Yeah.
It is, if you know, you want to do something on your off day from the parks, but you still want to do something that's kind of park adjacent, why not go to Trader Sam's and watch a room transform around you because you ordered a drink?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And after like four drinks, you could have spent the same amount of money you would have spent to get into one of the parks. So you'll feel like you've had a park day.
Okay, so I had voted Crew Cup. JJ went Trader Sam's. Sean, you went Trader Sam's.
Correct.
The listeners went Trader Sam's.
Wow.
So Trader Sam's does win. I'm just out of curiosity. Let's see what the tests.
Test the tender.
So Test the Tender had Scat Cat Club here, and she went with Scat Cat Club
in the final four.
Yeah, into the final four.
That's wow. That's a choice.
Wow.
I respect it.
I wonder if she's seen it with music. None of us have.
Has she perhaps maybe bartended there?
That would have been a good question to ask. Okay, so we are done with our Elite Eight, and we are up to our Final Four, which we're going to do next week. Next week.
I think this episode has been long enough.
This has been long enough, yeah. But next week, we're going to have a different format. We're not just going to do the matchups, but we're going to go into the history of each of these bars and kind of spotlight each of these
bars.
Give
a small spotlight on each one, and then we'll do our voting.
Yeah, so on our left side of the bracket, we're going to have Nomad Lounge versus Trader Sam's Grog Grotto. On the right side of the bracket, we're going to have Dockside Bar at the Boathouse versus Geyser Point Bar and Grill.
Wow. We got some heavy hitters.
This is very difficult.
This is great.
Yeah.
We bemoaned some of the seating, but it's given us a fun Final Four.
Yeah. I mean, we took the scenic route in some of these places, but I still think we landed in a really good spot.
Yep.
And a couple very different kinds of bars.
Well, Boathouse or the Dockside Bar and Geyser Point. I guess, yeah, they're different. They're different.
I mean, they both have a view of the water, but that's different, you know, different style, different cuisine, different types of drinks. And then you have Trader Sam's, which is a one-of-one experience versus maybe the best bar in the parks.
Park. Yeah. Yeah. And only one first seed, or one seed.
One seed, Nomad Lounge.
Wow. Our lowest seed is Trader Sam's Grog Grotto at 9.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, Sean, want to take us out?
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Reedy Geeks podcast. Like, rate, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Any questions, comments, concerns, future topic ideas, email us at reedygeeks@gmail.com. Check us out on our socials at Reedy Geeks, and we'll see you next time.
My work is done here.
What do you mean your work is done? You didn't do anything.
Didn't I?
This week's Honest Send-Off comes courtesy of Leonard from Boston.
If you have an Honest Send-Off that you want played at the end of one of our episodes, please submit an audio clip to us via our email address, reedygeeks@gmail.com. Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast, is hosted and executive produced by Andrew Schoppe, Sean Murphy, and JJ Hefner. Music and audio engineering by JJ Hefner. Bon voyage!